Tonight's episode of the Gamecasters, we discuss our Gen Con 2019 experiences, play a new game, and do our top 5 games of 2014. Stay tuned. Well, hello there, gamers. We are back for episode 22. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus here. Episode 21 and a half, our interview with Gamie Lannister was the last episode we did. And episode 22, we got a lot to talk about this time. So we went to Gen Con.
Woohoo!
The Gamecasters did Gen Con. This is our third Gen Con that we've done together.
Yeah, it's my third and your
fourth. Yeah, I've been to four. And we went with the brothers Madigan. Yeah, there was four Madigans and the Gamecasters. We went with Jeff, who's Mad Board Gamer. We went with Joe, who's Board Gaming Madigan, his wife Jen, and Dave, who doesn't have an Instagram account. Actually, I think he does, but it's a personal account. We're not going to plug that there because he posts a lot of like D pics and stuff on there that he doesn't want anyone to see. So
D for Dave.
Yeah, Dave picks. What did you think it was? You guys are gross. So Gen Con was insane. It was so epic and awesome and fun like it always is. We had an amazing time, right?
Didn't we? Yes, it was so much fun.
It was just 4 days of walking.
Yes, we, as you know, we prepared ourselves
and
ahead
it worked.
Of time. And our feet were great.
It worked for me really well. I mean, this was the first year I didn't get blisters on my feetsies. Like I thought, I mean, every year prior, I had blisters. My ankles were screaming at me. My feet were screaming at me. My back was screaming at me. That just didn't happen this year, which was sweet. Instead, I had a whole slew of other pains and problems that happened, which we can talk about in a moment.
Right.
So we started on Thursday. There was a Thursday binge. There's always a Thursday binge. That's the day that we like rush into the vendor hall and try to get everything we can. Everything that we think is going to sell out right away, we just kind of like rush around like, you know, we're just crazy like, you know, fast walkers because they don't let you run. So we're just walking around like, gotta get that game. Oh, let me get Black Angel. Oh, Crown of Amar. Oh, Sarah West over there. Oh, Taylor's walking. Woo. Right? So we do all that. And we went to Black Angel first thing because we wanted that most. And to our chagrin, it was gone. They said it sold out in 10 minutes.
That's crazy. Because, yeah, we didn't get there till around 1.
Yeah, that's
the thing.
And
it opened at 10.
Well, even if we got there at 10, we might not have gotten it. Because they said it sold out in 10 minutes. People go in. So Black Angel was in the Asmodee booth. So you couldn't just like walk up to it. It was a line to just get into the thing. And there's like tons of games there, and Black Angel was one of them. And so they sold out in like 10 minutes. The guy said they weren't sure if they were even getting any more because they blew through their 250 or however many they had brought. I don't know what the heck they were thinking. Didn't they realize they had the hottest game of the convention? Because that probably was, if not the, one of the hottest games at the show. They told me that they were going to try to airlift some more in the next day. But, you know, get here super early because we sold out in 10 minutes. So likely that'll happen again.
Yes.
So that sucked. We were kind of, you know, a little bit, I don't know, we were just a little bit disappointed because usually we like to get the game we want the most right when we get there. So it started off that way, which didn't, you know, we weren't sure if that was going to put kind of like a pall over the whole trip. But it was fine because we just kind of moseyed around. We made our way over to the plaid hat booth. And because I wanted to get Abomination, but we were in the wrong spot. It turns out that we went all the way down to the plaid hat booth, but they weren't selling the games there. That was just where they were demoing games. It turns out the plaid hat, the games that you buy for plaid hat were also in the Asmodee booth. So we would have gotten in line
right then.
The cool thing was we go up to the booth and at plaid hat, you know, we're like, oh, you know, we're looking to buy games. And the woman behind the booth, I notice, is Nikki from Bored with Life. If you guys haven't seen Bored with Life, go check them out on YouTube. They don't put content out anymore, but they had a web series a few years ago, and they put out 2 seasons. Again, it's called Bored with Life, B-O-A-R-D, right? And it is so funny. It is like, it was so funny. I really am upset that that is gone because it was just really great. They put out some really hilarious content. Chris Bryan was pretty much the brainchild, I think, of Bored with Life, and he's now gone on to bigger and better things. He's a designer who's we've talked about on the show a bunch, and Nikki was one of the stars of the show, and apparently she's working for Plaid Hat now. So her and Jerry Hawthorne were kind of there together. Jerry Hawthorne, the designer of Mice and Mystics, the upcoming Aftermath. He also did stuff Fables. He was there with Nikki, and they were passing out free hats. And I got a free plaid hat.
It's really
which
cool.
Which is super awesome. I've
and
been wearing that.
I think
that.
That's where we got the cute Quirky Circuits pin with
yeah.
the cat
yeah,
on the
Roomba. Yeah, we were looking for Quirky Circuits, too. Right. So it was cool. We talked to Nikki for a while, and that was just fun. So we went back and bought Quirky Circuits and Abomination at the Asmodee booth after trekking all the way back. But so it was cool to meet Nikki. So
oh,
that was
cool.
Yeah, that was a really fun thing. Also, Joe, right before the convention, maybe it was a couple weeks before, he basically sent an email to Queen Games, and there was some sort of like, hey, Stefan Feld's going to be here, and you know, if you want to meet him, you can send us a, I don't know if it's like an email, or I don't know exactly how he did it.
I think it was just like a couple days before. I felt like it was a last minute thing.
I don't know if it was a couple days before or if he found out.
Oh, he got
before.
Like an answer.
I'm not sure. All I know is there was like a thing, you know, hey, send us a message you can play to sign up to play a game with Stefan Feld and we'll let you know. And so he sent it in and he didn't hear anything for a while. And so he just assumed, you know, well, okay. Of course, you know, people at Gen Con, there's thousands and thousands of people. Everyone's going to want to meet him. So I just assumed that I didn't do it. And then like before the show, I don't know if it was a day before, 2 days before, he got an email that was like, congratulations, you are slotted to play a game with Stefan Feld. So that was super awesome. And so he got to meet Stefan Feld. We found out just recently that in his normal life, he's just a high school principal. Not just a high school principal. He's a high school principal. And that's pretty cool. You know, because he's like this super famous game designer. And it was Jeff that was telling me this. And he was saying that his students like don't have any idea. You know, he like moonlights as a game designer. It's like he's like his secret identity.
But is that his real name?
Stefan Feld?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think so.
Because like, what if kids get into games and they see his name all over these games?
I know. I don't understand exactly how that works.
I mean,
either.
Maybe
what
he
if
just
that wasn't
like,
his real name?
Make it known.
What if his name is really like Stefan? Like, what was Steve Urkel's alter ego? Stefan Urkel? So what would like Stefan Feld be? Stephen Furkel?
Stefan.
Furkel?
I don't know.
Stefan Furkel. So he's like this like.
Steven,
yeah. When he's a principal, he like has a wig. And he has like a cane or something. He like puts on an old mask.
And he's like 5 inches shorter.
Yeah, somehow. And then he leaves school. He like looks around for a couple seconds, takes the wig off, jumps out of the hole he's in, and like dashes away to design some games. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know how his students don't know, but I mean, that's what Jeff said. So Jeff's prone to lie. He lies about everything. So that might not be true at all. I don't even know. So
not true.
Exactly. Not true. Jeff. No. What the heck? Jeff lying to us about Stefan Feld. Just kidding. He's on the up and
anyway,
up.
Anyway, so Joe got to play.
Yeah, Joe played Merlin with Stefan Feld. Well, it's funny because we all thought that he was going to play a game with Stefan Feld, but really he was just playing a game and then Stefan Feld was kind of roaming around all of the tables and then talking to him once in a while. So it was cool. Joe got to ask him some questions. He asked him, do you remember what he asked him? Like he asked him some stuff about like, you know, what was the game that you designed that you weren't, that you didn't know was going to be so awesome.
Yeah.
And he said Castles of Burgundy.
Right. You didn't
he
know
had
it was
no
blow
idea.
Up.
And I think he also asked him one of his favorite designs. And I think he said Aquasphere, he really thought was great. But either way, super cool to meet Stefan Feld. The guy's like 9.5 feet tall and just an amazing designer. So that was super cool that Joe got to meet him. So then we're kind of like wandering through the hall. And if you've ever been to Gen Con, the vendor hall, it's just freaking enormous. You know, it's like, I don't know, it's like a couple of football fields put together maybe, right? It's
at
like
least.
Super huge. It's like super long. And so we're like just wandering around. There's, you know, the crowd is just redonkulous. You can barely move, which is kind of a bummer at some points.
Yeah, we thought that Thursday would be the least crowded day, and it was not.
No, it seemed just as busy as Friday and Saturday of last year. But I mean, I don't know if that's actually true or if that's just how it feels because we have not been in that crowd for a whole year. So all of a sudden you're like shocked into that crowd. Like, what the heck is this nonsense? So we're standing there by a random booth and we're like looking at the ground, just kind of like standing around. And I'm like, hey, this kind of looks like where we bought Everdell last year. And Dave's like, yeah, I think it's somewhere in this area. And I'm like, the floor even looks exactly the same. And so we're just like kind of chatting about that. And Natalie looks up and she's like, there's the Everdell booth right there. And it was like 2 feet away. We were just like, whoa. It was like the nerdiest mind explosion ever. But we were in the exact same spot that Everdell was in last year. And we didn't see it. But we were talking about like, this looks like the spot we saw Everdell. And it was just, it was cool. It kind of
we were
like,
excited about Everdell. Me and Dave both bought Everdell last year and got it signed by the designer. And the expansion, Pearlbrook, came out this year. And we wanted to get that. So we went over there and they were already sold out that day. But they did say the next day they were getting some more copies.
Yeah. So it was fun. We just, like I said, we just kind of wandered around, bought a bunch of stuff, then went home and played some stuff. So we had an Airbnb.
Yes. I was something? Just going to say one thing that we got on the first day was the game Don't Get Got. And it came with a promo pack of cards to play at the convention. And so me, Ryan, Jeff, and Dave split the cards up between each other and spent the next like 24 hours trying to get each other.
So this is a super cool game. It's a game that you play in the background of life, basically. You get a bunch of cards and the cards basically tell you something to do to one of the other players to kind of like trick them. You just, like I said, you just do it in the background. It's not like you get it and then it's, okay, my next goal right now is to do this card. It's just something that you just try to have happen at some point during the day. So for instance, my card might say, get a player to shake your hand 3 times throughout the day. You know, and that's kind of a weird thing to do if you're just like, what with your
friends? Hanging out with each other like, you're all just day.
Gonna, yeah, how are you going to get your friend to shake your hand? So you got to devise a special way for them to do it without them realizing that you're doing it to try to get the card. Because if they call you out, like they're shaking your hand and they're like, what the hell is he doing? Are you trying to get me? Then you fail that card because like, oh, he figured out that I was trying. So you have to do these cards in such a way that it's natural, that your friends don't understand, don't know that you're doing it. It's such a cool, mind-blowing kind of unique experience. The closest thing to it, well, there's nothing really close to it, but we would play dark stories in the background of other games, right? Like I'd give a dark story question to somebody, you know, if you haven't played Dark Stories, you should check that game out. But it's basically just a murder that happens and then the whole group has to figure out by asking yes or no questions what happened. So the card might say something like, a man woke up, ate breakfast, and died. And that's all it says.
And says, and then, what happened?
And then everybody has to guess or try to figure out what happened by asking yes or no questions. Okay, so this game, you usually play that in the middle of the game night, right? So Don't Get Got is the same exact kind of thing, except it's an actual game you're trying to compete against your other friends with. And
right,
it's
you're trying
so
to be the,
much fun.
The first one to get 3 of the cards.
Yeah, yeah. If you get 3
or
of the cards
in
that
our
you
case,
get.
Two?
Or did no, we you have... had to get them all. I think we had to get them all. First one
oh,
to get
we
all
had to get
them
all.
In
okay,
that one.
Yeah.
One.
But I will say it created some of the funniest memories of the convention playing this game.
Absolutely.
It was really fun.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to Friday. So we go back to the Airbnb and I had bought, I pre-ordered a game called Team 3 and I really wanted to get that to play at the house. And we had the best time with it. So it's super cool because in this game, there's 2 different versions of it, a green box and a pink box, and they're essentially the same game. There's a couple very different, like very minor differences between the two, but if you get the green one or the pink one, it doesn't really matter. But the cool thing is if you get both games, you can split up into 2 teams of 3. The game's called Team 3, and you play in a team of 3. I'll explain that in a second. But you can play with 6 players and do all these sweet cards. So I bought them both, and we happened to have 6 people in our Airbnb, and so we played 2 teams of 3, and it was so much freaking fun. That is the funniest. It was so fun. So basically, this game just has a bunch of polyomino pieces. You know how much I love those. And they're like plastic blocks, so they're big, chunky, which you need because the game's all about tactile feel. Because one player, so you're basically, your team is working against the other team, trying to build with their polyomino tiles the picture of a card, and they're trying to do that before the other team does. So you're kind of racing against the other team. But the trick is only one player on your team sees the card, and he or she has to communicate to another player, but you can't talk. So you're only communicating with hand gestures. And then the player that gets that communication has to then relay vocally what they're getting from the person who sees the card to the third player, who is the one actually manipulating the tiles. And the reason they have to do that verbally is because the player manipulating the tiles has their eyes closed. So they can't see anything. It creates these really hilarious and interesting kind of dynamics, you know, where one player is just really trying to like, all they want to do is say, put the black tea piece right there. But they can't say that. All they can do is pantomime with their hands. And then, you know, they have to do it in such a way that the vocal person is interpreting what they're saying in such a way to talk to the blind player in putting their pieces there. And it's just so hilarious.
It is hilarious. We played it with 2 teams of 3 and we were competing against each other. The team I was on with Dave and Jen, we didn't do very well. But it was still really fun. And then after that, we tried some of the harder puzzles using the time.
Yeah, so there's two different ways to play. One is, like I said, where you have two teams of three, but the actual, I think the normal rules is when, because you only have usually one copy, is you just play with a team of three people and you have a timer of, I think, 3 minutes, two or 3 minutes.
I think it's three.
Yeah, and so you just have to basically complete whatever card you're working on in 3 minutes. And the cards vary in difficulty from 1-star, 2-star, 3-star. The 1-star use only like 5 or so pieces. The 2-star use more, and the 3-star use like all of them.
Right.
And it is just hilarious.
Oh my gosh. We had so much fun. We were laughing. I think at one point we took a video. I think Jeff took a video of us, you know, doing one of the scenarios, and everybody like thought it was hilarious. Remember, I was like, no, 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 yep, yep.
Yes.
Because Dave just kept turning things around, and all I had to say was like yes or no, because he was just like didn't stop moving the pieces. It was really fun. We had a great time. It was a very good purchase.
It's a great game. So that was Team 3. Check that game out. I'm not sure if it's in stores. It came out of Gen Con. It might be in stores. Again, I mean, just, you know, check it out on Amazon or whatever. It's called Team 3. So after that, we played another game we got, a little game called Medium. And this one basically is super simple. You just take two cards, and I have a card. I play a card, and then Natalie's right to my left, and she plays a card. Now we have two cards laid down on the table, and they're both face up. We can both see the words there, and they each have one word on them. So say the word, one word is penguin, the other word is car. Okay, so I've laid down penguin, Natalie lays down car. Now, together, the two of us have to come up with a word at the exact same time that we think correlates to penguin and car. So we just count down from three after we think we have a word, 3, 2, 1, and at the same time we say our word. So if I say James Bond and she says
Batmobile,
yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Thanks.
Oh, darn it. Okay. So she said, actually, wait, here's a better example. So, okay, I lay down popcorn and Natalie lays down military. So we go 3, 2, 1, colonel, right?
Yeah.
So if we both say colonel, Natalie, you were supposed to say
Let's do it again.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, colonel. Okay, we both say colonel. Yay, we get a point. It's a point token that has between 5 and 6 points on it. But if, say butter, okay. If we say 3, 2, 1, colonel.
Oh, no.
Did you say burner? Hey, that's the word you went with. That's the word we're rolling with.
Butter. I got butter and kernel mixed up.
That's hilarious. Okay, so I said kernel, you said burner. Okay, so those are the words we just happened to say. So now, since we got it wrong, we have to now come up with a word that's that correlates between kernel and burner.
No, I said birder.
Oh, birder.
Like butter and kernel.
Oh, sure. Okay, kernel and a word that doesn't exist. What would happen in that instance? We'll say you said butter, okay? So kernel and butter. So we can't say popcorn because popcorn was on the clue card. So now we have to come up with a different clue for kernel and butter. If we get that word wrong or that clue wrong, we have to do it one more time. And if we get it wrong again, we're done, right? If we get it right the second time, we get a clue, point token that's a little bit worse than the 5 or 6. It's between 3 and 4. And if we get it right the third time, we get a even less point.
It's like 1 or 2.
Token, yeah, 1 or 2.
And then points. If you still get it wrong, then you just don't get any points.
Which happens to Natalie and I every single time because we are horrible at this. Why are we so bad at it?
I don't know, but like
we just
you
keep
say,
missing each other. Just barely. Yeah, like if the thing is like sandwich material. You know, I would say cheese and she would say lunch meat or vice versa.
Right. Like, it would be like just two quite, words that are like very similar, but not the same.
Yeah, it's really, really strange. But anyway,
but
that
it's really
game
fun.
Is so much fun. We had a blast playing it. So then the last game we played was Cartographers. This was a game that was on Joe's list of his top five for Gen Con. And it was really fun. It was a roll and write in the role player universe, but it was a really cool game. I really liked it. I would play it again for sure.
I really liked it too. This was one that Joe talked about when he was on our podcast, and I was kind of excited for it after he talked about it and we played it, and I really liked it.
Yeah,
a
me
lot.
Too. I thought it was fun. I don't know if I would buy it. I would definitely want to play it if we played with Joe again because I really liked it. Is that something you'd want to seek out?
I don't know, just because we're in like a weird place right now and are overwhelmed with games.
Yeah,
but
a lot of games.
I do really like it, and I definitely want to play it again. So
the last thing that happened on Thursday was I was popping the shrink on a game, and I've done this 1,000 times in my gamer career life. And for some reason, I ripped open part of the plastic with my teeth on a game, and I accidentally inhaled right when I ripped the plastic off, and this little tiny piece of plastic went like right into my windpipe, And I was freaked out about that. I'm still freaked out about this. I listened to an episode of The Secret Cabal, and they were talking about how like dangerous and bad microplastics are, which are, you know, you drink from a plastic straw, and then these little tiny microplastics get into your system. And you hear about all these microplastics that are in the ocean, like killing fish and doing crazy stuff. And
oh
this one, like, I feel like it might be in my lung, and I'm still kind of freaked out about it. I just wanted to take this opportunity to say I love you, and if this is it, then I had a great time.
Oh, my gosh. You're fine. Can you breathe okay?
No.
Yes, you can.
Well, I can, but it feels like there's a tiny little something in there.
No, it does not. You're okay.
So that was the end of Thursday. So we go to Friday. We immediately get in line for Black Angel. Somehow, Natalie and I got right up at the front of the door.
Oh, that's right. We got separated.
We got separated. We got right at the front of the door. We ran in there, and I was probably about maybe 75 people back in the line, which sounds like I'm way far back, but that's pretty good for this line because everybody wants this damn game. So Jeff came in later. He was probably like 300 people back. And so he was pretty sullen, like, oh, I'm probably not going to get the game if they have any. Even I, 75 or so back, didn't think I had a chance at getting the game because, I mean, they sold out 250 copies in 10 minutes. I didn't know how many they were going to bring for this day. So as I was getting a little closer to the front of the line, I found out they had a bunch of copies, and I think I'm good. So then I'm like, oh my gosh, Jeff might not get a copy. What are we going to do? And I was quickly just like thinking like, okay, I got to get him a copy. How am I going to do this? There was a guy in front of me and he was like, hey, I'm not going to buy Black Angel. I'm just here for Quirky Circuits or Abomination just to see. And so we were just talking as we were in the line about games and stuff. And I kind of realized, you know what? If he's not going to buy Abomination or Black Angel, because they're only letting you buy one copy, I was like, maybe I'll just see if he'll take some money from me and buy me a copy, and I can get it for Jeff, and I'll be the hero of Gen Con. So I asked him, I brought him over, I'm like, hey man, what do you think about doing this? And I kind of like passed him the money, and he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And so I felt like this covert op, you know, operative, like I'm just like being all sneaky, and I texted Jeff, and I'm like, I got you, bro, I got you, you're all good. You know, expecting like this, yeah, this is an awesome thing. So like we get up to the line, and there's like thousands of copies of Black Angel, and it turns out it didn't matter at all. He would have gotten a copy no matter what. But it was still pretty fun.
That is fun. And the reason that I wasn't with him to buy Jeff's copy was because I went immediately over to the Everdell booth to try to get the expansion because it was sold out the day before and they were also getting more copies. And I just like bolted right to the booth and they were just starting to like form a line when I got there. So I was probably like the eighth person in line and I was like so excited. I know that Dave got in, he wanted that too, and he got in behind me and I looked back in line and he was probably like 10 to 12 people behind me. And I was like, okay, good, at least he'll get a copy. And so I go get my copy. I get it signed again by the designer and talk to him, shook his hand. That was pretty cool.
She hasn't washed her hands since she shook it. It's getting really gross.
And but it was the same situation as Black Angel. We walked by the booth again at like the end of the day, and there was still a bunch of copies, and that wasn't necessary to run in there, but it was still fun.
It was still cool to do. On our way to the convention hall on Friday, I think I had two of my Don't Get Got cards done. And I was like, how the heck am I going to get my third one? My third one was so crazy difficult. I was like, there's no freaking way. My card said you had to get a player to create a fake YouTube channel and get a player to look it up. And I'm like, how the heck am I going to do that? So I'm like looking at Instagram while we're in the car on the way to the convention on Friday. And I'm like, okay, how am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I see a dog in the Instagram story. And I'm like, oh, I got it. And just this idea just like popped in my head. So I like kind of like pause the video and I kind of briefly show everybody this picture. And I'm like, hey guys, look, Gamer Dog's here. And they're like, what? What's Gamer Dog? And I'm like, Gamer Dog, you know, you guys haven't heard of Gamer Dog? He's on all over Instagram. He's got a YouTube channel. I'm like, it's basically a dog that plays board games. And they like talk for him and he just plays games and stuff. And everyone's like, oh, that's interesting. Wow, that's funny. And I'm like, yeah, he's here at Gen Con. We got to find him. If you find him, you know, we got to like give him a pet, tell him he's a good boy. Maybe we'll get an appearance on the, you know, on his whatever. And so they're all just like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So throughout the day on Friday, I kept planting that seed. I'm like, oh, is that Gamer Dog? I'm like, everybody, make sure you keep an eye out for Gamer Dog. And they're all like, okay, you know, what kind of dog is Gamer Dog? And so Natalie and I were talking about that. I was like, yeah, I think he's a Basenji or something. And she's like, no, he's not. He's a
husky. What'd you say?
He's a husky. And I'm like, no, I don't think he's a husky. I'm like, just check it out. Go to his YouTube channel and it'll show you right then. And she's like, okay, what is it? And so she pulls her phone out and she's on YouTube and she types in gamer dog. And as she's typing gamer dog in, I slide the card on her phone that says what I'm supposed to do. And I just like have my, she like looks up at me and I have my hands in the air like, yeah, yeah. Like I just, you got. And she's like, you son of a bitch. It was so funny. So we had to go back to the group later and then tell them like I won, and they're like, how'd you win? And I'm like, gamer dog, it was all bullshit. And they're like, what? No.
That's
and so
funny.
I won it. It was hilarious.
It was really funny. And I was like a little bit disappointed because I was excited to see gamer dog. He pumped it up. I wanted to see that dog.
Maybe we'll make an account called gamer dog with yeah. Mac or Hobbs and then right. They can do it. So then we played some games on Friday as well. Yeah. There were some that were kind of good, some that were kind of crappy. We played this game called Galaxies. It was pretty new. It was just a prototype version there. And it was basically like almost like a Sagrada style game, but it had this backlight underneath it. I don't really know. I guess you'd have to play it in the dark for it to get the full effect. But you got these marbles and you're just placing these marbles on this central board. Or do we all have our own player board?
Yeah.
That's right. We're taking them from, yes. That's right. Cause it kind of had like a Coloretto aspect to it. You're taking them from the central board, putting them on your player board, and it seemed pretty fun. We also played a game called Heist.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was really fun, but I don't know if it would be fun
over
lot.
And over and over. But
basically,
it was this
plastic cube box.
Yep.
Right? That was Heist, right?
Yep.
And it talks to you and gives you instructions, and you have to pass a bunch of stuff or tokens around and then push buttons on the thing.
So the box like talks to you. You know, and each person is like has a different job.
Yeah, like a different operative or something.
Right. And they tell like
thief, pass the notebook to the
IT guy,
yeah, whatever. And then it's like IT or whoever has the notebook, press the button.
Right. So you got to be passing things around to the right people or trading things. And then if you have it, the game will know because it tells you to push the button and it knows that you're the person that has to have it. And if the wrong person pushes the button, then that counts against you.
And yeah, do you just lose time or something, or what does it do?
I think if you like get something wrong so many times, it just ends.
Okay.
But you have like so much time to.
Yeah, it's
real
time.
And it starts to get faster and faster and faster. And you got to be passing things around and pushing the buttons. And you got to do it quickly. Like you can't wait. I think when Dave and I played first, we played with a random person at the convention. When we did lose that one. And when we lost, it was just because he like pushed it like a second too slow.
Oh.
But it was. And then, of course, the four of us.
Yep, the four of us. The four. The mind team.
We played
Ryan,
and beat
Natalie,
it.
Natalie, Dave, and Jeff.
I think like level 3 or something. But it was very fun.
Yeah, it goes to like 6
and
levels.
And the people who taught it to us were very, very nice.
Yeah, that was cool. That's the main theme with everyone at Gen Con and in this hobby in general. Everyone is just so nice. There's, of course, exceptions to that and bad eggs. But on the whole, this hobby is just so, everybody's so gracious, kind, nice. They just want to talk to you and they want to be talked to.
Right.
I mean, and this is a hobby of social interaction. So it makes sense that people want you to talk to them and everyone's inclusive and, you know, check out my new game. And they're all, most people are, it's all about the games. It's not about making money. It's not about getting rich off of this stuff. It's about introducing people to games I've never played. And I think it, like something like Heist, the people that explain that to us, if we walk away like, wow, what a great new game that was.
Yeah.
They win, you know, whether we buy it or not. I mean, obviously they want us to buy it so they can stay in business. But I think it's more important to most of the people that we enjoy the product they're selling.
Yes.
You know, instead of just making money, right?
Right, so, I agree.
That stuff's super cool. We also played a game called Paris, which isn't really worth talking about.
Nope.
We played a game called Pinnacle, which is really cool. It was just a stacking kind of game, which I really liked. And then I played a game called Pass Tally, and that was really fun, although a little bit too thinky for me. And then we played Wordsmith and Brainwave.
And I also played Mental Blocks.
Oh, yeah, you played Mental Blocks, right. So those are some of the games we played on Friday.
Oh, but one other thing I wanted to say was we were walking through the hall and some man who had no shoes on and a bunch of wounds that turned out to be fake, who was basically dressed up as John McClane from Die Hard. He passed us out a Crunch Bar. There was this thing that they had where you could type in this passcode to the safe. And if you got a winner, you could win a copy
Getting
of the
a
new
winner
Die Hard
is just
game.
Putting in the right. Putting the code in right.
Yeah. And so I think we started on Friday and we went there at like every single day since then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe
twice. Well, we didn't go there. We haven't gone there since.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean.
Got to drive to Indianapolis for our daily gen.
But it's the thing we did. We tried every day, all five of us, to win that game, and we
to no avail. But it was super. Really it was cool. Really fun.
And every time you did it, they would either give you a pin or a crunch bar.
Yeah, so I took a bunch of pins. I have like five diehard pins.
Well, it's Ryan's favorite movie.
It is. I love that movie. So then we had dinner and went to our what is going to probably be our annual escape room. Not that this is the place we're going, but we're doing an escape room. And it was really fun. It was the museum heist was the theme.
Yeah.
It was cool. I thought it was really cool. It was just very easy. I mean, it's hard to, since we've done so many, especially this group of us, we've done so many escape rooms between us all. We've really seen all there is to see. Our brains know exactly how to work these escape rooms. And I guess that's one potentially negative thing about them is if you do so, once you do so many of them, it's kind of hard to get
stumped.
Yeah. The puzzles are always fun and awesome to do, but we always get out with so much time left. I think we did it in like 38 minutes out of 60. It was cool, but you know, I would do it again, certainly. And I'm sure we'll do it next year. I just really hope that somehow, some way they evolve a little bit. Escape rooms evolve. I don't know how or if it's even worth it for them to do it because they're obviously making tons of money and we're not the target market for these, I don't think. I think honestly the target market are people who've never done this kind of thing before at all for parties, not, you know, hardcore gamers that are looking to be stumped because that's just not what's going to happen. So then we went back home, played a few new games. We played No Objects. No Objects is a game where you are drawing with your fingertip on the table a card, right? So if a card comes up, it says button. I can draw on the table like a circle and then I put the button circles in the middle and everyone's trying to guess it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, right? That's all you do.
Right. And then if somebody guesses it, then you get to keep your card and whoever guesses it gets a card and those are points.
Sure. And then the more cards you have, once you have a certain amount of cards, you have to start doing the more difficult objects to do.
Yes.
We were a little underwhelmed, I would say, then. We played it again just a couple nights ago at a work game night and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we were just comparing everything to Team 3 and Medium.
Yeah, we had such a blast the night before.
And we were just expecting that. Or if we were just a little more exhausted second day, we came off, you know, down off the high a little bit of being at Gen Con. We then played.
It was also after the escape room, and so we didn't even get home until like 9:30, and then we started playing some games.
That's a very good point. We then played Draftosaurus, which was a game I bought, I had pre-ordered, and it's basically a drafting game, except instead of using cards, you're drafting these little dinosaurs and you're putting these dinosaurs on the board in certain ways to score points. I actually really liked it. It was kind of underwhelming as well, but again, I'd like to play it again now after we played No Objects again and see how much more we liked that.
Yeah.
I'd like to try Draftosaurus again to see if we liked that a little more too.
Yeah, I agree. I was a little underwhelmed. It wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, but you know, what you're going to do. It was still good. So then Saturday, we went to the convention hall and Natalie and I got to meet Elizabeth Hargrave from Wingspan. That was super awesome. Natalie and I both love Wingspan. We've talked about it on the show a lot before. It was super fun to meet her. She was, again, like everybody else, super down to earth, awesome, really happy to meet us.
She
signed a couple cards for us.
She took a picture with us.
Yeah, she took a picture with us. You can see that on our Instagram page, I believe.
And we also met the...
Oh, yeah, Natalia Ingersoll.
What's it called? Artist.
Yeah, Natalia Ingersoll, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that her name? So the day is over and I'm journaling all these days. And so we're like laying in bed and I'm like, what was the name of the artist we met? Her name was Natalia. What was her last name? And Natalie just immediately fires off. Oh, Ingersoll, Ingersoll. And so I'm like writing it down and I'm like, are you sure that's what it is? And she's like, oh yeah. She's like, the only thing I'm not sure of maybe is the spelling. And so I'm like, okay, I'll look it up. So I look it up and I find it. And she's like, was I right? And I was like, well, you were close. It's really spelled Rojas. Yeah, her name's not Ingersoll. It's Rojas.
I have no idea where that came from.
And she had it so quick. I'm like, what's her name? Oh, yeah, Ingersoll. Ingersoll, bitch.
I thought I was like so right about that.
No, she was nowhere close to it. It was so funny. So we met Elizabeth Hargrave and Natalia Rojas. We don't mean to insult you, Natalia Rojas. Also, if there's any Natalia Ingersolls out there, sorry, but we didn't meet you. You're like, I don't remember meeting these people. All the rabid Natalia Ingersoll listeners that we have.
Yeah.
So then we did the Die Hard thing again that day. And this time, the last few years, I've always meant to, but never got to. I've always wanted to head down to Lucas Oil because there's a bunch of stuff going on in the Lucas Oil Stadium as well. There's events down there. There's the actual stadium has a bunch of stuff set up. So I wanted to go check it out. So we made a point to do that. We went over and we found the Lucas Oil Stadium. And
right on like the field. I mean, the field was covered up with mats, but
there was a little square section we could like walk.
Yeah,
on the field.
We put our foot on the grass.
Yeah, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was just a bunch of tables of people playing games. And
right, people beating each other up with foam swords.
Yep, that was strange, but interesting.
You saw the we saw that Fifth Element lady guy.
Oh my gosh, yes. There was this man that was dressed up like the girl from Fifth Element when she was wearing
that white
cloth outfit that was barely covered anything, but it was a man wearing it and he had the orange wig. And for some reason, we just couldn't get away from this guy. And also, whenever we saw him, we couldn't stop looking at him. It's like,
it was like burning our retinas.
Right. You know, and we go to Lucas Oil and we're like, there he is again.
He's there. Oh my gosh. The Ishii guy.
I mean, that's one thing about Gen Con. There's a lot of interesting people, good people watching, a lot of interesting costumes. It's very entertaining, not just the game part.
Yeah. So we made our way over to Floodgate Games. I don't know if this happened Friday or Saturday. I can't remember. It might have been Friday, actually. And there was this giant squirrel because they were debuting Bossk there. And there was this giant squirrel there. And Jeff saw this thing next to the squirrel that said, take a selfie with the squirrel. Post it on your favorite social media site, and you will be entered into a contest to win an autographed copy of Bossk. So Jeff did that, and then Natalie and I did that, and that was kind of fun, you know, just entering into a contest.
Yeah.
And then later on, as we were leaving, we walked by the video game hall, and Billy Mitchell from The King of Kong was there, and I kept saying the whole time, like, I'm just going to walk up to him and be like, Steve Wiebe for life. If you haven't seen The King of Kong, please go see The King of Kong. I'm sure we're all nerds here, right? We've all seen the damn King of Kong. But if you haven't, go right now. And I don't know if it's on Netflix or what. If it's not, figure out a way to watch The King of Kong. And you will feel the same way about Billy Mitchell that we all do. But he was there. And Jeff, I think Jeff's upset that we didn't say anything to him. He really wanted to say something to him. We
like
all kind
what?
Of chickened
like
out.
Something mean?
No, I don't think so. I think he
I remember
just wanted
I was
to
like,
go.
Do you want to take a picture? And you're like, ew, no, we don't want to make him feel like he's special.
Yeah, but I think Jeff was feeling like, hey, we're at Gen Con. When are we ever going to have a chance to see Billy Mitchell in our lives? Probably never. So let's go get a picture with him. We didn't do it. And I think I bummed him out a little bit. Yeah, I just, ugh, that guy. That guy just, ugh. I don't know how anybody is nice to the guy.
And he had horrible hair.
Well, that's how he always does.
Ugh.
It looks exactly like it did in King of Kong, which was probably made like 15 years ago.
Yeah, it was bad.
But it was cool to see him.
I think he was trying to break the record for Pac-Man or something.
Yeah,
he's
if you don't know King of Kong, Billy Mitchell is, he's kind of the villain of the movie, but he's basically this incredible world record holding old school video gamer. Anyway, that was interesting and cool to see him. But the real reason, or the real crazy thing to talk about that happened on Saturday night. We get back to the house and we played this game called Penny Lane.
Well,
that
first
Joe
we played
bought.
Letter Jam, which was very
oh,
fun, by
right.
the way.
Letter
I just
Jam.
Want to throw that out there.
Okay, that's
it was
a
awesome.
Cool game. That's a why don't you want to explain a little bit of how that plays?
Me?
Nah,
are we
okay.
going through this again?
It's basically a word game. Okay. So everybody has a 5-letter word that they create out of these cards that just have letters on them, and we pass all our 5-letter words to the player to the right. Those cards get shuffled up and played face down in front of them. So the player to your right has no idea what the letters are. They then flip up the first letter of that word into a stand such that they cannot see the letter. So everybody else sees their letter. Think Hanabi, where everybody, or code 777. Everybody else can see your letter, but you can't see it. So then you see everybody else's letter. And there's also potentially letters that come out in the deck, from the deck. If you don't have 6 players, you always play with 6 letters, right? So then we have to all decide, okay, let's make, who can make a word with all the letters that they can see, and if they say they can make a word, they give that word as a clue, so then everybody else can try to determine what their letter is. So say I have, or Natalie has the letter P in front of her, and so she doesn't know that that is her letter. And so say I see E-O-P-L-N-E on the other cards. And so I say, okay, I can make a, was that a 6-letter word? I can make a 6-letter word that helps 3 people and uses one of the bonus letters and the card in the middle. Okay, so those are the clues I can say.
The card in the middle is like a wild letter.
Yeah, it's like a wild letter you can play. So everybody agrees. So then I have these chips, these poker chips, and they're labeled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And all I do is I put the poker chips to the letter in order of the word I want them to do. So I'd put, so Natalie has the first P in people I'd say. I put the one chip in front of her. So Natalie knows that she has the first letter in whatever word I'm trying to spell.
So I put like a question mark because yep. I don't really know what
then
that
I put
letter
the
is.
Two on the E. And whoever has the E doesn't see they have the E, right? Then I put the three on the O, a four on a P, five on an L, and six on an E. So Natalie sees, okay, E-O-P-L-E. So based on E-O-P-L-E, she can deduce, that, okay, I must my letter must be a P.
Right.
So she writes down P on her little sheet. She flips her card back down, face down, and puts her second card up. So everybody's trying to do this. Everybody's trying to figure out what their letters are. And then by the end, they're trying to create a five-letter word with those letters that they got. If we do that by the end of the game, then we win and score some points. It's cooperative. If we don't do that, we lose.
It was definitely really thinkier than we thought. We thought it was going to be some light little word game, and it was more challenging than we thought, but it was actually really fun.
Yeah, I loved it. I would have played it. We played it twice in a row. I would have played it again.
I loved it too.
And it was very thinky. We played it again at game night a couple nights ago, and it was just as awesome. And we did, even though we did terribly, yeah, but it was just as awesome.
It was
awesome.
Still really fun.
So then we played
something weird.
Penny Lane. There was like some sort of gas leak or something going on in the house. The people next door, because we were like in like a townhouse where like it was a shared wall.
It was
wall,
a duplex.
And the people next door were smoking some crank. Is that a thing?
Oh my God.
Were they smoking crank? Maybe they were shooting up crank. What do you do with crank?
Crank?
They were cranking it. Yeah, crank's a drug, right?
What?
Maybe it was just weed.
I think it was weed.
What do you mean, what? Crank's a drug? You never heard of crank?
Yeah, but I don't know which drug that is.
Well, that's what I was asking you. I don't know. They were doing something with crank.
That knowledgeable about drugs.
They were like smoking crank.
Oh my God.
So they were smoking weed, and we could just smell it in the house. Not at this moment, but earlier in the day, we could smell it. And so for some reason, I don't know if we were just slap happy or if we were like overtired or what, but Natalie, me, and Dave, it was the three of us at first. We're just like slap happy.
Yeah,
and
we were
just like
kind
of going, yeah, we were like all giddy and stupid,
off.
Like, this is funny. And so we're playing the game, and it was a fun game. I actually really enjoyed
this game.
Penny
Lane also, yeah.
It was really fun. But the game is not what we're here to talk about,
well,
fellow listeners.
The game had these little tiny cardboard circles.
Coins.
Coins.
Pennies.
Well, it's funny because everybody kept, they're like, what are these things? And I'm like, pennies? And they're like, oh, yeah.
Penny Lane. So we were playing at a table in the kitchen of this house, and the table is right against the wall. But there was a little tiny gap between the table and the wall, as there usually is. And so one of these coins, at one point during the game, fell between the table and the wall. In this game, money is really tight, so you don't want to lose any of these coins because you could run out quickly. So we finished the game.
Well, first we were kind of looking on the floor, and no one really saw
the
penny.
Yeah, nobody could see it.
So we were like, whatever, we'll find
it
later.
We'll get it later. So the game ends, and we are all like super giddy. The only one that wasn't really giddy at all was Joe, which is really crazy. He was like the voice of reason, you know?
Which is not normal.
Which is not typical of Joe. And so he was like, guys, come on, get it together. We got to finish this game, and people are going to hear you, and blah, 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 blah.
Usually he'd be the one that's like, let's stay up all night and play a game.
Yeah,
and
right,
like,
exactly. Yeah, but so it was reversed, which was funny in itself. And so then the game's over, and something took over all of us. We were like, we got to find this freaking penny. Where is this penny? What? We're like looking on the floor. Everyone's like scouring the floor. We're like on our hands and knees. Nobody can find this damn thing.
It was nowhere. We're looking in our shoes. We're looking like
we all took our shoes
down
off
in the basement.
At one point, we were convinced that the penny had fallen into the light socket that was right below the table.
Because the plate to the light socket wasn't flush
against
like the
wall.
It
was slightly ajar.
And Dave did a little test where to
he
see
put another penny in there, and it would have, he's like, oh, if I let go of this penny, it's going to fall in there. And we're
and
like,
and then
oh,
we were like, well, that's the answer.
That's
why
it's
we can't
in there.
Find
it's
it.
Totally
it's
in there.
Light socket.
But nobody had a screwdriver, so Joe finds that, I don't know, he got like some scissors.
He had a knife.
It was a knife. And he's like, you guys want to open this thing? And we're like, no, we're not putting that knife near this electrical socket. What are you doing? Are you crazy? And he's like, yes, I am. And so he goes over to it and he starts opening it, and Jeff's got his video camera because he's gonna like his video camera his phone
his
he's
video.
Gonna like put it on Instagram.
It's
you
like
know,
this big reveal.
Yeah, so he takes
penny
it off, and we're like looking in there, and no,
and
it's
we were
not in
then
there.
We were our
we're
minds
like,
were
it
blown.
Has to be in there.
We're like, if it's not there,
how could
where
it not
could it
be,
be
in there?
The next thing we know, the refrigerator is moved.
Yep, I got the table flipped upside down. We're like looking to see if it's underneath the things. The fridge is, Dave and Joe are moving the fridge, and I'm like taking the glass off the top of the table, flipping the chairs all upside down.
By the way,
downstairs.
It's like 1 in the morning.
Oh, it's, yeah. We're all like, where's it going? Where's it going? Where's it going? We're like shuffling around back and forth, like,
where could it be? Where
just like
could it be?
Giggling.
And
like
we're
idiots.
Like, are you sure that we're missing a coin? Maybe it didn't even
yeah,
fall at all.
Yeah, so I
got to
take the coins out. Me and Dave are counting them over and over again. No, I only got 44. There's supposed to be 45. You count. I counted one more. We're just like really high and crazy. And then all of a sudden, Joe goes, oh my God, I found it.
And we're
guess
like,
where the heck it was? He took off, what was it, the bottom of the stove.
It was like the drawer, like at the bottom of the stove. He took it out and it had rolled under the stove all the way across the... So basically, it rolled down the wall between all of our legs, past us, past the refrigerator, down the kitchen, turned, and went under the stove.
Under the stove. I felt... If I was that Penny, and I was just like hearing all of us like, oh my God, they just moved the fridge. They're never going to fucking find me. Oh, they just looked in the light socket. They didn't find me in the light socket. I'm just going to be here forever. Oh my God, what am I going to do? This poor Penny. And then luckily Joe, the Penny's dad, found it. And that was the crazy. We
couldn't stop talking about it or laughing.
I was certain there was a gas leak. Because I'm like, why are we so high? We're like all high right now. Or maybe the person that was smoking that crank.
Oh my God.
Was like getting that crank in there and we were just getting high off that crank.
Maybe, it was but something. It was ridiculous.
It was insane.
And I really wish that like someone had a security camera in the kitchen at that moment recording watching us just that. Like go crazy.
It was freaking awesome and hilarious.
It was
and
really
stupid.
Funny.
We were in the basement for freaking out. What, like, we took the plate off. We're like, it's got to be in this light socket. What is it? So it's flushed to the wall and like slides down and just falls in that one little thing. Like, come on. We were so dumb. We took our shoes off. It's got to be in one of our shoes.
Yeah, like it rolled up inside my slipper.
Well, hey, we were like, we were not going to go. I was not going to bed anyway. I was not going to bed until I found that freaking pen.
Yeah, we were determined.
Yep. So it was awesome. So that was Saturday. Sunday, we wake up. We get to the convention hall and we meet Kane freaking Klenko. We talk about Kane Klenko all the time on the show. We love Kane Klenko's designs. The man's done flip ships. The man's done Fuse. The man's done Pandemic Rapid Response. The man's done Chaosmos. I refuse to call that game the other name. Chaosmos. he's done a lot of awesome games that have this real-time elements, and they're just really cool games. He did a game called Slap It. We haven't played that, but he's done that. We got to meet him. It was awesome. His wife held my phone, and just like Natalie's hand, I haven't washed my phone since. Do people wash phones?
You should. They're dirty.
Yeah, that's gross. Wash your phone, people. Gross. So then we're at lunch, and there's these island noodles that we've been getting at the food trucks.
Gosh.
Holy crap.
If anyone goes there, get those. They're
if you know
amazing.
Gen Con and the food trucks, if you go to the food trucks, they're usually crazy busy. And this line to island noodles is like so freaking long.
You'll know what it is because it's the longest line.
But it takes like 10 minutes maybe to get through.
And it's totally worth it.
Oh, my God. Well, sometimes there's a guy that comes out like while you're in the line waiting to get there. If it's so long, a guy will come out with a like an iPad or a phone, and he's got, and you can pay in line. You can order and pay in line.
Right.
So you get up there, and anyway, these noodles are awesome. So we're standing in line, and we're all on our phones because we're just sitting there waiting. And I get a notification, and it says, Floodgate Games has mentioned you in their story. And I just kind of look up to Natalie, and I'm like, oh my God, I think we just won Bosque. But
your,
I couldn't,
your
my phone
wasn't
would
working
not work.
That day.
So the network wasn't connecting. So I like got the notification, but when I clicked on it to see what it was, the stupid circle is just spinning, spinning, spinning forever. And finally it worked. And sure enough, we won a copy of Bosque.
That's so awesome.
It was
awesome.
So freaking cool.
I could not believe it.
Yeah, it was like the coolest thing ever. So we finished our noodles, went into Floodgate, you know, showed them our Gamecasters t-shirts to prove that we were the Gamecasters.
Right.
And they gave us a signed copy of Bosque. How freaking cool is that?
That was so cool.
Yeah, I love that. That was awesome. Then toward the end of the day, because we didn't stay the whole time, after Bosque, Joe knew that I wanted to meet Bill Eberle. He's the designer of Cosmic Encounter, which is one of my favorite games of all time. And he came by and he's like, hey, he's over there. Let's go meet him. And I was like, oh my God, okay. So we go over there and we meet him. I introduce myself. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm Ryan. I know you've heard of me because I know how everyone listens to the show. And, yeah. You know, this has got to be an honor for you, right? To
what you really said
was
Cosmic Encounter is one of your favorite games. And he genuinely seemed so happy.
He took me by the shoulders and like shook me back and forth like, ah! So it was so awesome to meet him. He was so kind and so nice and just so, he seemed genuinely happy to meet me and us, so like, yes. Everybody, like, you could just tell he was kind of awestruck. I don't know if he's ever been to a Gen Con before or anything, but like, we were talking to him for a while about just his experiences here, and he's like, yeah, it was so cool. I got to go to the Board Game Geek booth, and I just did a little video on this new game I have coming out, and it was just so much fun. And he also designed Dune, which is a game that has like such mass appeal, almost like underground, you know, like it's like a cult kind of classic.
Yeah.
Movie and he designed the board game to it, and everyone loves that game too, and I think it's just getting a reprint. So he was like there promoting that. He had two word games that he was promoting. We played them both, Decipher and Wordsmith. Decipher I thought was a little better, but it was cool. He like taught them to us, and he was just so happy that, you know, that like
that we
I was
were
telling
interested
him,
in him
yeah, that
and
we,
that we
that,
liked
right,
his games.
Right. He thought that was the coolest thing ever. I walked away from that experience, from meeting him, feeling so energized about the hobby just because, I mean, here's Bill Eberle. This guy is like royalty, like board gaming royalty. This guy is, he's been around designing games since the 70s. And he seemed like a kid in a freaking candy store here meeting us. And it was just so awesome.
It was really sweet.
And it was a great way to end the convention. So that was Gen Con.
Yes. And we talked a lot just now, and there was a lot more to it.
Oh, that was the cliff notes.
I mean, we didn't even tell you all the games that we demoed, that we played, but...
That we bought. That we came home with 27 games. So we bought 26, and then the boss win made 27. It was crazy.
Yeah, maybe on the next episode, we'll talk about some of the games we bought at Gen Con that we've played since we got back from Gen Con.
We can go like a little bit into it. I'll just say the names of the games, and we'll probably talk more about them in depth.
Yeah.
We played Shobu, which we loved.
Yes.
We played Colors of Paris, which we didn't. We played Bosk, which I liked more than Natalie. Natalie wasn't super huge on it, but I really liked it. We played Artemis Project, which neither of us really liked. We played Quirky Circuits, which Natalie, I think, liked a lot more than I did. We'll play that some more. We played Letter Jam again. We played Nine Tiles Panic, which we both really enjoyed.
Yeah, that was really fun.
And I think that's it for...
Claim? Did you get that there?
Oh, that's right. We played Claim, too. That was a little two-player trick-taking game. We played that one. We both kind of were like, eh, on that. But yeah, we'll go into maybe a little more depth on the next episode. And then there was a couple games that we played that we didn't get at Gen Con that arrived just before Gen Con. One of them I just kind of wanted to touch on because it's been so fun. So The Secret Cabal and Blue Peg Pink Peg have been talking about this game for years. And I finally, you know, bit the bullet? Is that a thing? I finally bit the bullet.
Yeah.
Does that mean you die? Or does that mean you like took the plunge?
Yeah. I think it's finally.
Yeah.
Like you finally.
Yeah. I took the plunge and bought it. It's called Strike. It is so much freaking fun, you guys. All it is there's this little arena. I call it arena. It's just a box. And you have a bunch of dice and you're just throwing the dice in this arena. That's all you're doing. You're throwing it in there.
It's so simple.
Yeah. You're throwing it in there. If you get a match on your dice, you take all the dice that match. So if there's four dice in there and I throw my dice in there and now there's two fives, two threes, and a six, I take the fives and the threes out and they're mine and the six stays in there and then the next person goes. And it sounds stupid, but oh my gosh, you guys, it's so much fun.
It's really fun.
If you've never played it before, seek it out. It is a great game to play at a game night or at parties or with kids. Anybody can play this game. I play it with my three-year-old daughter plays it. Because all she does is throw a dice in there, and if the numbers match, she takes them.
Right.
And it's so much fun.
It's really fun, and everyone who's played it has really liked it.
For sure. We also got to play a little card game called Belrati that I bought beforehand, before Gen Con, and it's a cooperative game, and you're basically trying to figure out which artwork is the correct artwork, and you're trying to filter out the ones that the stinky old rat named Belrati has put through. It's really fun. We really enjoyed it. Maybe we'll touch on that a little more on the next episode again, but man, did we like that game.
We played a lot of games since we've talked to you last.
Yeah, tons and tons of stuff. We'll go into more depth later. So, what I thought I would do, since we talked about how much we loved Medium, I thought, instead of doing an association station, I still wanted to do a game for you guys. We are going to play Medium for you here on the show. And so I want you guys to play along with us. So what we're going to do, the way this works is Natalie has six cards and I have six cards. And I'm going to pick a card. And then Natalie's going to pick a card. And we're going to tell you what those words are. So remember, what we do is I play a card, Natalie plays a card. And then based on those two words, we're going to count down from three. And once we get 3, 2, 1, right after we say one, we're both going to say the word that we think associates those two words at the same time. Okay? So I want you at home to think about what word you would say while we do this. And if you get it right, sweet. That's awesome. If you don't match us, then try to match us again because we're going to try to go through all six of these cards, I think.
Okay.
And remember, you get three chances on each card. So if we don't get the word right the first time, then we have to do a word that matches those two words that we got wrong. So if you don't match us, play along each iteration. So like if we do the first one and we all get it wrong, just then play along with us as we do our second word and our third word and so on. It's just something, I think it'll
be
fun.
It's just for fun.
Yeah, it's just for fun. So are you ready, Natalie,
to
play Medium?
Who's going to play a card first?
I'll play the first card.
Okay.
My card I'm playing is pink.
Pink.
Yep, so now Natalie has to play a card. Natalie sees this card, pink, and then looks at her cards and tries to make a match, something that she thinks she could correlate with pink. So she gets to play. We don't have to play them randomly, essentially. So while Natalie's thinking about that, looks like she's got nothing, which is more fun that way.
Okay.
So first of all, we suck at this game, like, so bad. We are really terrible, so here's us practicing right now.
I'm going to play the word dirt.
So, okay. So I have pink, and Natalie has dirt. So we have to come up with, it's not a word, we can say whatever we want, as long as what we say is the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. So pink and dirt, and we have to say the same word.
I'm ready.
Oh my gosh, are you?
Yeah.
Pink and dirt, huh? Okay, so we're going to count down from three, and then we're going to say the word, okay? Three, two, one, chalk.
Worm.
Okay, so Natalie said worm, which is awesome. Pink and dirt, she corresponded to worm. My pink and dirt, I said chalk, because, you know, like a pink
worm.
Like a pink chalk, you know, it makes like dirt or like dust. So now, I don't know what word you guys said. You probably said worm, because I'm just terrible at this game. So now we have worm and chalk. So we have to come up with a word that matches word and chalk. Can you guys think of a word that matches worm and chalk?
Worm and chalk.
I don't know. Do you have anything?
I can come up with something.
Worm and chalk. So this game usually devolves into like sexuality with us. We found out.
We'll try to keep it clean.
We're not going to go that way on the show here. All right. So worm and chalk, huh? You have something?
Yeah.
I have nothing. Worm. Okay, here we go. Ready? Three, two, one. Brown. Okay, so brown and drawing. Okay. Brown and drawing. Okay, I got something. Right. Ready? Three, two, one. Poop. Yeah! All right, we got it. Yes, yay! That was fantastic. Okay, so... All right, so we got poop. Poop was our first one. That was card number one. So I don't know if you guys
got
any of those right. But yeah, so in the normal game, what would happen is we would get, since we got it on the third try, we'd get one of the tokens that has the least amount of points on it. So basically you have three different types of tokens. One has five or six, one has three or four, and one has a one or a two, and they're all shuffled together face down. So we would pick from the pool that has a one or a two, okay? So now, if we wouldn't have got that right, then we just lose, which is usually what happens to us. So we're going to try again. Now Natalie gets to play her card first. What you going to play, Natalie?
I'll play turtle.
Turtle. All right. And I will play ocean.
Oh.
So turtle and ocean. This might be harder than I thought.
Okay, I got one.
You do?
Yeah.
Turtle... an ocean. Okay. it seems like it'd be so easy, but I have like 10 things I could say. Turtle and ocean. Do you guys have something for turtle and ocean? Oh.
Yeah, I got a couple.
I know, I have so many.
Just go with my gut.
Okay. Turtle and ocean. You know what to say? Okay, ready? Three, two, one.
Sea.
Nemo. Oh, sea turtle, ocean and sea. Yours is so much better. Gersh. All right, so Nemo and sea.
Okay.
Nemo and sea. Okay. 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 Hold on. Okay. You think you got something?
Yes.
For Nemo and sea?
Yes.
Sure. All right. Three, two, one. Dory.
Fish. Oh!
So here we go. That's our wee. We just missed. Okay.
Yep.
So
fish and Dory.
Fish and Dory. Fish and Fish and Dory. Okay, we got this one, I think. I got something. Fish and Dory. No? Yeah?
I have
no?
something, but I'm just trying to think of what you might say.
Oh, I know what I'm going to say. What do you guys think for Fish and Dory? I can't hear them. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Three, two, one. Ellen.
Woo! I did not think Woo! You were going to say that.
Woo! Yes. All right. Hey, we're doing better than normal.
I know. We just need more pressure.
Yeah,
I guess.
Right. Well, we're still doing the worst that we could possibly do. Okay, so here we go. So it's me. Sea was the best. Ocean, sea, and then turtle, sea turtle. Ugh, gosh. What did I say? Nemo? What a dummy. All right, so it's my turn. I'm going to play the card space.
Space.
Space, 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 space. You want to know about space? You got to listen to me right now. You want to know about the planets? It's Mercury, Earth. Dang, Jeff did that better.
Okay.
What do you got?
Actor.
Space and actor. Space and actor. Okay. I think we can do this one. All
okay.
Right. Three, two, one.
Matt
Tom
Damon.
Hanks.
Oh.
Oh, darn it. We just watched Apollo 13. The Martian.
Yeah, The Martian.
Okay, all right. Tom Hanks and Matt Damon. Okay, this should be simple.
It should?
Should be.
Do you have something?
I got it right now. Boom.
Are they in a movie together?
Maybe not. Yeah, so Matt Damon and Tom Hanks.
Oh my gosh, are they in a movie together? I don't know. I can't think of it. Can't think of one.
All right, well then, just say whatever you feel.
Okay.
All right. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Three.
Wait, I'm not ready.
Why'd you say you're okay?
I gotta think of one.
I think of. Oh, you don't have a word?
No.
Matt
okay.
Damon.
Oh, no, I can't.
Tom Hanks.
Okay.
Got it?
Sure.
Three, two, one. Man!
Big. Oh my gosh.
Did you say Big?
Yeah, isn't that like a Tom Hanks movie?
And what?
I had nothing!
All right, the movie they were in together was Saving Private Ryan.
Oh.
Matt Damon was Private Ryan and Tom Hanks was the...
I knew that. Okay, so a big man.
So big man. Okay. No?
You do? Okay.
Three, two, one. Micah. All right, that's not funny to anyone else, but there's this giant guy. Well, he's not giant. There's this big guy at work that we work with named Micah. So that's pretty funny. Oh, man, I thought we had Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, I wish I thought of that. That's a good one. I just couldn't think of what movie they were in together.
Okie doke, it's your turn to play a card. Boist.
Okay. I'm going to play the word kitchen.
Kitchen. All right. I will play the word boil.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay. Three, two, one.
Pot. Yeah!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
We never get them
on
the first try.
We don't ever get it on the first try. I wonder if... Are we giving you guys enough time? I wonder if we're giving them enough time.
Well, that probably, wasn't.
Yeah, they probably
that was pretty easy. Boil. I mean, you only boil like stuff in one thing.
True. But you could boil water.
True.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to play the card Bat. B-A-T. Bat.
Oh, boy. Okay. I'm going to play the card Cup.
Natalie's playing the card Cup. You seem real, like, fired up about that.
I
Bat
feel good about it.
And cup. Okay. Okay, I think I got this. Okay. Bat and cup. Okay. Three, two, one.
Baseball. Yeah, yeah.
I can do
Why
anything.
Why are we doing so much better than normal?
All right, so we got our last cards. Go ahead and just lay it on the last card.
All right, mine is coffee.
Okay, mine is tropical.
Oh, tropical coffee.
Tropical or coffee tropical.
Okay.
Coffee and tropical.
I think I have something.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Three, two, one.
Caribbean.
Brew. Oh, that's a good one. I was thinking like a storm is a brewing.
Oh, that's good.
And coffee,
that
you brew,
is a good
you brew
one.
Coffee.
I was just thinking,
but yours is good too.
I know that they sell a lot of coffee in like, you know, tropical places like Caribbean.
So you said
or
you said the Caribbean?
Yeah.
So Caribbean and brew?
Caribbean and brew. Okay, I got something.
You do? Okay. Okay, I can do it. Three, two, one.
Hurricane.
Holy crap.
This is the best we've ever done.
Oh my gosh, it's unprecedented.
I knew we just
like
needed
you said,
practice.
We just need pressure. Wait, we didn't practice though.
No, I told you the other day because we were doing so bad. I was like, we should practice this.
So this was our practice.
Yeah.
All right, we're ready to take on the world championships of board gaming. We'll go on. So that is the game Medium. That's basically how it plays. So really, you just go around in a circle. So you have, like, say you have five people, you sit in a circle. I draw a card for the person to my left, then they play. Then the next person, then they go on their turn with the person to their left. So everyone gets a chance to pick the card, the first card. And then basically what you do is at the end of the game, you and your teammate on either side of you each have a score. Because when you get it correct, then you play, you take a token, right?
Right, a point token.
That's for the two of you. So you put it like in between you. So that was awesome.
That was
cool
fun.
Game. You guys
yeah,
like
that?
I don't know. We'll see. Well, let me know.
I mean,
by
had fun.
Emailing
Who cares
us
about you?
At
I'm just kidding.
the Gamecasters Podcast at gmail.com.
Pretty
the
sure
the Gamecasters Podcast like, at gmail.com. Let us know what you thought
sure.
about that game. Think that's the email address. I get it wrong every time. But anyway, email us there, and that would be fantastic. We are now going to head over to the blistering finale with our top five. So our top five for this episode, Natalie decided that it would be fun to do a top five list based on the year that she first got into gaming, which was 2014. So that's when we met. We met at work, and you played board games before that, but not like hobby style board games, right?
Right.
Like you'd take games to your family's house and so on like that. So when we first met, you know, I was already a board gamer for a number of years into this hobby. So I decided, you know, okay, she likes board games. I'm gonna show her some of the board games that I like and see what she thinks. The first game we played ever was Splendor, and away we went. So that was 2014. So here is the Gamecasters top five games released in 2014. And we're back. Okay, so why don't I start this off so you can finish us?
Okay.
Right? So, okay. So my top five, I expect we're going to have some overlap here.
Probably.
And I don't really care.
All right.
So whatever. We'll just talk a little bit briefly about these games. So my number five game released in 2014 is a game by Uwe Rosenberg. And it's called Patchwork. Natalie just gave me the, oh my God. So I'm wondering if that, is that your number five?
No, but my number five is also by Uwe Rosenberg.
Holy crabapple. It is?
Yeah.
Really?
Do you want to know what it is?
I do.
It's Fields of Arl.
Oh, I should have known. That's cool. So let's talk a little bit about those two games. So my number five, Patchwork, is a polyomino game, which, you know, go figure why I like that, where you're playing with two players and there's just a bunch of polyomino pieces in a circle around the board. And you're just basically buying those pieces with buttons, because the whole thing is about making a quilt, basically. Mm-hmm. So you just buy these pieces with buttons and fit them into your board, and whoever has the least amount of spaces showing at the end of the game wins, essentially.
Yep. It's a two-player game. It's really fun. It's quick.
Yeah, it's super fun. Well, really, I guess your buttons, most buttons is the winner.
Yes, most buttons.
Points, but you lose points if you have spaces empty.
Yeah.
And so it's usually whoever has the least amount of spaces showing is usually the winner. So that's number five for me, Patchwork. Natalie, your number five was Fields of Arla.
Oh, is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Oh.
Remember yes. we had this discussion? Arl, Arla, Arle.
Yeah.
You called it Arle for some reason a long time ago.
I did?
Uh-huh. In an episode, many episodes ago.
Arle.
Four
was
episodes
it an
maybe.
Accident?
Nope.
I misspeak constantly.
Was not an accident.
If you haven't noticed. Yes, that's my number five. I mean, this is not my favorite Uwe Rosenberg game, but when I looked at the list of games that came out in 2014, as you can imagine, since it was my first year, I didn't recognize most of them. I did like this game. I bought it a few years ago, and I played it probably a handful of times total. I liked it enough to keep playing it, and I thought it was a fun game.
It's
it was
good game.
Long. It was a game that I really wanted to figure out how to do well in. So
well,
I
it's
kept
very
playing
sandboxy.
It.
You can pretty much do anything you want to. You're presented at the beginning of the game with just a limitless amount of options.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you
right.
kind of get to pick every game what you're going to do.
Right.
You're not going along on rails.
Yeah.
You know, it's open. So there's a lot of replayability there, I think. And it's cool because both Patchwork and Fields of Arla are both two-player only games. But
oh,
they're
that's
so
right.
different in terms of their weight and scope.
Oh my gosh,
even
so different.
By the same designer. So cool. That's our number five.
Okay.
Number four for me is the first game in the hobby style games that you have ever played. And for me, it is Splendor. You're shaking
Yay.
Your head. Is that also your number four?
No.
Oh, but okay. You keep like shaking your head. You're just, I think, reacting to me like, oh, yeah, okay, you
yeah,
got Splendor.
It's my favorite
for
game.
Me,
or not my favorite, my first game.
Yeah, the
game.
First game. And I'm thinking you're meaning like, yep, that's mine too. Anyhow,
sorry.
Splendor, if you haven't played it, by Space Cowboys, is a really fun engine building game. And it gets a lot of buzz even now. People compare so many games to it. And a lot of people hate it for that reason, but I think they secretly don't, because every time a new game comes out, somebody will say, well, this game is just better than Splendor. I like this game better than Splendor. It's like a Splendor killer. And everybody says that about so many games that come out. That tells me that Splendor is the benchmark for these style of games. And I really still enjoy Splendor.
Yeah.
I would play it. I play it now.
I really enjoy Splendor. And I'm kind of, it would have been my number six. And I'm kind of like sad.
Oh, it didn't make the list.
It didn't make the list.
Ooh.
Just because there are some other really good games.
There are. There's some really good games. Well, that's good. We don't have overlap.
Yeah, true. But I really like this game because it has like a special place in my heart because it was the first one we played.
Yep. I like it. I just like it. It's very simple, it's very quick, and it's got cool components. It was just trying to win the Spiel des Jahres when it came out with those poker chips. It's pretty awesome. Really? But I really like it. I think it's a good game. So my number four, Splendor, let's hear yours.
My number four is Patchwork.
Okay. Awesome. So two back-to-back Uwe Rosenbergs for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an amazing designer, so we love him around here. Awesome. Do you have anything additional you'd like to add about that game, or should we just move on?
Let's move on.
All right. We move on with my number three. It's by designer Carl Chudik. He's done games like Innovation, which is a fantastic game. But this one is called Red 7.
Oh, nice.
And when I first played this, it was at Grand Con a number of years ago with our friend Jason. And he just busted it out. And I was, like a lot of the games that year that he busted out, I was like, I don't want to play this. This looks really stupid. And I was just ho-hum, you know, like huffing and puffing a little bit internally. Like, I never heard of this. What's he doing? And we played it. And I was like, oh, my God, I love this game. And I play it a lot. It still sees play.
Yes, it's really fun.
It's really interesting. It's hard to teach new players, which is funny because it's a very simple and little game. But it's kind of difficult to teach.
Yeah, it's a little confusing to understand.
Yeah, like you always have to be winning at the end of your round, at the end of the round. And if you're not winning either by changing the rule or playing a card, then you're out. It's a very simple little filler game, but it's very fun. I'm really impressed with the design, and it just kind of sticks around in my brain as a really cool game that I want to play whenever I can. And so that's Red 7.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Thanks.
My number three, I didn't write the designers, sorry. But my number three is La Granja.
Oh, La Granja. So that's not Uwe Rosenberg, but you're sticking in the Uwe Rosenberg kind of style. Because La Granja is about as Uwe Rosenberg as a non-Uwe Rosenberg
really?
Game gets.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a farming simulator, which is all right. Uwe Rosenberg
that's
does.
That's true. We played this game maybe like a year ago or so, and I remember we both loved it.
We were so happy
with it. And we talk about wanting to play it a second time all the time. You know, we really want to get it played again, and it's my number three on my list.
Awesome. Sounds great. My number two is a game that we played, you and I, a number of years ago. We played a lot of it. And while we were playing it, I was so smitten with it. I loved it. It's all I wanted to play. We played the crap out of it. It's a campaign game called Shadows of Brimstone.
Oh, I thought you might put that on
I
there.
Loved this game. It was so and is so fun. I ended up getting rid of it only because we kind of played it out. We played a ton of scenarios, and then we were just like, okay, it's about time to move on to something else. They are still making content for it. There's a ton of stuff. So if we ever wanted to jump back into it, we could get a base set. A newer base set. We had the original two.
Mm-hmm.
We played the crap out of those.
We used little superhero figurines.
Yeah, superhero little miniatures that we just got from some random thing as our guys. It was really fun. I even made a file on BoardGameGeek you can go check out to keep track of all your stats and stuff. We were really into the game.
Yeah.
It was really fun. And that's my number two, Shadows
awesome.
Of Brimstone.
My number two is Orléans.
Oh, yeah. Orléans was my number six.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Very awesome game. Wow, that's your number two, huh?
Yeah.
So you like that more than maybe you realized.
Yeah, I think so. I was looking it up while I was making my list, and I was looking at the pictures, and I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of want to play this again. This was cool.
Yeah. Well, maybe we did play with the geek up bits, because I have those.
Oh,
I think we did.
Think
I'm
we
pretty
did
sure
too.
We did.
Yeah. That was very fun.
Awesome. Orléans. Yeah, that was my number six bag builder game. Oh, I didn't explain either. Shadows of Brimstone is like a dudes on a map kind of cooperative dungeon crawl type of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome. Check it out if you haven't heard of it. And Natalie's number two was Orléans. That's a bag building, engine building kind of thing. Like a deck builder, except you're pulling tokens out of a bag.
Yeah, my kind of game.
Yep, you like that stuff. All right, so here we are at number one. I'm certain our
it's
number one is the same.
I'm sure
three,
it is.
Three, two, one, Istanbul. Okay. Natalie and I love Istanbul. Natalie, I think, likes this game even a little more than I do. Every single person in our game group, and that's without fail, every single one of them loves this game. Well, I guess maybe, I don't know about Joe. All I know is Natalie, me, Jeff, Dave, Bill, Christy, we love this game.
For a while, this game was like my number one game.
Yeah, of all time.
Of all time.
Sure. It's very high for me as well. It's definitely in my top 20. Every time I make a top, I mean,
yes.
You make a top 20 once a year, and that's always in it. We haven't played it in a while.
We haven't played it, and I'm kind of bummed about it. But it's kind of like Castles of Burgundy, where it's one of those games where like you can pull it out anytime, any place. I'll play it. Like
yeah.
I'd be happy to play it.
Any place, huh?
Yeah.
When we're scuba diving.
Well, you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I know. There's not a situation, a gaming situation, where you would say where you would turn it down.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
If I pull it out, you'd be like, oh, I'm in.
Yep.
I'm playing this
yes.
game. Yeah, I agree. It's so fun. It, in my opinion, was the best game to come out of 2014. In a year chock full of amazing games that came out. 2014 was a very, very good year for
gaming. I just randomly picked it because it was the year started playing games together.
I think
together,
it's a cool idea for top five. So yeah. I think we'll do that again at some point in the future. I'd like to know your top five games of 2014. I posted just today, which is the day of this recording is Sunday, August 18th. I just posted an Instagram story asking what your favorite game of 2014 was. Check that out. You have probably another... Actually,
I think it's 24 hours.
I'll probably have to post it again. Yeah, because it sounds like I think it only stays up there for 24 hours. But either way, send me a message or send me an email. And I would love to know your favorite games of 2014. If you do, I will let you know and give you guys a shout out on the podcast. And that'd be fun to hear.
That would be fun. I'd also like to know if anybody has any top five lists that they would like to hear about.
For sure. Yeah.
Like topics.
Yeah. Give us some ideas if you want. We will come up with... you know, we have a ton of ideas to do going forward in the future, but if there's anything that you guys want to hear, whether it's top five or just topics for the show, or if you really liked the interview that we did with Gamie Lannister, if you'd like to hear more of that, we'd love some feedback. Any feedback would be fantastic for us in terms of what you like about the podcast. Don't tell us what you don't like because we'll cry. What you'd like to see in the future, things that you know, wish that you heard on podcasts that you don't. We are going to pander to you. We are here for you guys. We have a ton of fun doing this show. We have a bunch of fun making this content for you, but we also want you to have just as much fun listening to it as we have making it. So if there's something that you really like or want to hear, please definitely let us know. And again, at thegamecasterspodcast@gmail.com is the email address you can reach us at. You could also just message me on Instagram if you follow us. You can always just message us and we will get back to you instantly. Because we are lonely and just are waiting with bated breath for people to communicate to us. So that would be fantastic. Other than that, for Natalie, I am Ryan. We are the Gamecasters, and we will catch you in 2 weeks for episode 23. Have a great day.